Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. WOMAD, the World of Music, Arts and Dance Festival, took place in Taranaki last weekend. WOMAD doesn't just happen in the Naki though. It's an international festival appearing in the UK, Abu Dhabi and Adelaide, where it is known as WOMADelaide, among others. The first was in 1982, and since then the growth around the world has turned this festival into big business. Nigel McCulloch investigates.
A common preconception of WOMAD is that it's full of hippies with flowers in their hair and beads on their wrists dancing wildly to strange music, but here in New Plymouth in 2011 it's far from that. In fact, it's almost aimed at youth. You can get youth passes for the teenagers, which are cheaper tickets, and prams are more prevalent than tie-dye. It's a real place for families.
So we're here with children and grandchildren, all having a ball. Incredible, and the kids were all safe. You know, the kids were everywhere. Last night there's probably 10, 12 kids amongst our kids and their friends and their kids, and the kids were having a ball.
I was just wondering if you guys have come to WOMAD today to see anyone special.
No, we didn't. We just came along for the experience, really. Yeah.
We don't really look for the lineups or anything, but we just know it's always we always have a good time coming here. So.
Oh well, I've been in the past and it's a wonderful day, so I'm just here again. One day only, unfortunately. I'd like to have the 3-dayer, but I'm poor. But one will do. That's great. And we've got another good day, so that's a bonus.
Do you know anyone playing here today?
No idea.
So have you come to WOMAD for anyone in particular?
In particular? Yeah, my girlfriends, yeah? It's a girly annual thing that's going to be happening all the time, yeah?
Is there anyone here that you want to see, or is it more for the event?
Yeah, there was an African band, I think. I don't know what they're called, African something. I think they were on last night, though. I would have liked to have seen that, and there's a DJ somebody as well, so we're sort of raising the awareness now, you know what I mean, yeah, so it's turning more into a little bit of a rave as well, isn't it?
Oh no, just for the youth all coming here really, that's about it, yeah.
There's a huge youth presence here this year, isn't there?
Yeah, all of my friends are going that I know, yeah.
Have you been before? You're from New Plymouth?
Yeah, I went last year, I worked here last year, so I thought I'd buy a ticket this year.
One of the louder voices at WOMAD this year was Bob Brosman, an American guitarist, linguist, and ethnomusicologist. Mr. Brosman, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
I think WOMAD has been really important for bringing a whole new perspective of music to New Zealand. I was talking to a lot of people outside. How have you seen that rise in your career throughout the world?
Well, that is a very complex subject, which I can rattle on about at some length. Let's talk in a general sense for a moment about pop music. Up until about 1972, music came I'm only speaking about Western music now. Music came from the ground up. Bands like the Beatles started playing in little places. They were good. They got famous. They started playing in bigger places, and it was organically grown. Around 1972, which is when they stopped saying rock and roll and they started saying rock, as in, dude, you rock, which should be called, dude, you corporate rock, because that's when the accountants took over and stuff started being from the top down. So, like, people are famous kind of before they've done anything, you know, famous for being famous. I don't want to sound like an old fart, but if you ask the average 18-year-old in the 60s, what do you want to do with your life? Generally, they said, well, I want to do something to make the world a better place. If you ask an 18-year-old today in America, anyway, they say, well, I want to be famous. Well, famous at doing what? Oh, it doesn't matter, you know, having 8 babies, going to school and shooting up my classroom and doing a YouTube beforehand, you know. And so this idea of, like, before, like, celebrities used to be celebrated for doing something, you know. Now it's top down. Now YouTube and the internet are breaking all the old paradigms now, because in the old era, getting a record contract was kind of like a diploma. You couldn't just make records. Now anybody can make records. The recording studio with a leather couch is a bit of a dinosaur now. So there's that aspect. And the other aspect is, in every generation, there's going to be the 25% smartest and most curious people. Not everybody wants to just have, you know, Justin Bieber and Britney Spears. I mean, that's just like people who only eat McDonald's. Your taste buds get bored, you know. I want to try everything. I want to hear everything. And so WOMAD, because it's done so well around the world, you know, I'm so happy that it is bringing young people, because, man, once you taste something interesting, you don't go back to McDonald's so easily. You know what I mean? I'm proud to say I've never eaten one. I've used the McToilet once in my life. But that's one thing. The other thing is, I find that the poorer the country, the richer the music, and a bigger part of daily life is the music, rather than a commercial commodity. So if you here in New Zealand have a chance to see a musician who's managed, who's good enough to get out of his home country to play for you, to make records in a country full of great musicians, you are guaranteed good playing, regardless of the style. You are guaranteed a good musician. You can't make that claim for Western music, like, you know, flavor of the month singer-songwriter might write good songs, but you're not going to see great playing.
One act who have made it out of their poor homeland is Amadou and Miriam from Mali. They're a husband and wife team who have since supported the Scissor Sisters, Coldplay and Blur. I was just interested if they've ever considered recording in English. They've gone so far in the Western world at the moment. Is it something they'd ever think of, recording songs in English to try and reach further audience in that way?
When
they were in Mali and they were listening a lot to English-speaking bands such as Led Zeppelin, Bad Companies and many others. And they just, you know, they really loved that music, and it really inspired them to, you know, to make their own. And basically, music is their universal language, although already they put some English sentences there and there in their music. They feel that the music is the universal language anyhow.
All these causes for them, do they ever think about the business of music? But is music, is playing at festivals like this a business for them, or is it a way for them to live and do something they love, or is it purely just for doing something that they love?
Music was something more from childhood or from very young for them. You know, they started to do music like because they loved it. Like Miriam started to sing at 6 years old. Amadou played the guitar at 12, and it was something like coming from what they love and what they felt like wanted to do. But to be able to work and do what you love in the same time is something, of course. When you get older, you try to earn your money and stuff, but doing that while doing what you love, it's something very amazing.
As the popularity of WOMAD grows each year, so does that ever-present problem of illegal downloading. Going back to the YouTube that you were talking about and having so many younger people at your concerts, is it also a case of robbing Peter to pay Paul, where these younger people are coming to your gig but maybe they're downloading the music for free? Is there that bad side too, or do you think maybe it's been played up a little too much and actually it's all good?
I'll give you a couple statistics. First of all, the people who are most upset about free downloading are people who sell millions of albums. They're upset about it. I sell thousands of albums, and, you know, if some people download it, unless you live forever, you don't own anything, really, so why not just have the music spread? At my level, it's fine. Having said that, record companies are frightened to death, because 2 years ago, when a new album came out, 10% of the revenue was lost to illegal file sharing. It's flipped over. It's 90% now. And on the one hand, I'm glad people want the music. I don't want the internet to stop being a free, totally free, anarchistic place. And in a certain sense, it gives more power to the musician who's willing to do some physical labor and get out and do shows. Because at live shows, my CD sales are not affected at all by file sharing. I sell heaps of CDs on tour. I mean, often the CD sales are higher than the fee. Because people want to hold an object in their hand, they want to interact with a human being, they want your signature. So I'm not at all affected in that way. What it's done is it's increased the artist's power with the label. Because it's like, man, I'm selling a measurable percentage of your product. So let's talk about, you know, the price that the artist pays for Roadstock. And it's come down and down and down.
Do they ever consider the internet and the effect that might have had on their career?
Yeah, it's like the open, there's many aspects of it. From one side, it's easier for people to follow our story, to know us better and all that. And at the same time, it's very harmful for the music business and for artists as well, like especially through downloading music and stuff. So that's how they feel it affects their career. Yeah. Yeah.
That was Nigel McCulloch at WOMED, and that's our show for this week. If you'd like to catch up on any of those stories again, head along to www.publicaddress.net/radio, where they're all handily podcasted for your enjoyment. Until next time, I've been Simon Pound.
And I've been Michelle Acourt, and thanks to New Zealand On Air.